Here in the 13th verse of this psalm, David says he will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. In the 3rd verse, he says, "But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased." When I was a young man, not very old, I learned a lesson that's valuable to me. It's still valuable to me. That lesson is this: somebody has to be in control. Problem with our government, the problem with our morality, the problem with our culture, the problem with our society, the problem with most of the religion in America is they think that you can just operate with nobody being in control. It can't be that way. When we hear people shout regularly that they're unhappy, some government agency. They had a meeting last night up in eastern Kentucky. Thousands of folks or more, they're unhappy that the government's cut off their disability. Some question as to whether they needed it or not, or they deserved it or not. That's beside the point. But they're upset with the government. People are sometimes unhappy with a medical entity. You know, doctors tell you something, you don't want to hear that. Doc, I'm going to tell you, if you haven't figured this out by now, you folks who've been blessed and not been sick much, doctors don't know what they're talking about. All they do is come in and talk to you and order tests and pat you on the back, and they go in another room and they got a dartboard and they throw a dart at a board. They try to guess what's wrong with you from throwing that dart. People not happy with doctors. They may not be happy with some private company. They think they're dishonest. They're cheating them. They may not be happy with some association. I got a letter today from one of the companies that I've worked for and saying that they were giving me an opportunity, if I chose to turn my pension over to somebody else to run it. I don't think so. Somebody's got to be in control. I'd rather it be me. But in the universe that surrounds us and of which we are part, there is someone who's in control. The God of heaven sits on a throne and he has in his hand the scepter of universal dominion. And he rules with a holy hand. God rules and reigns over every person, over every situation, over every experience that's involved in the creation. Now we forget that real often, but it's true. It is such a blessed experience to just sit and watch God work in his creation. His ways and his operations are beyond our capacity to comprehend, more often than not. But God has given us his word, and it tells us what he wants us to know. I hear folks all the time. I was talking to a fellow the other day. He evidently didn't believe the Bible was the inspired word of God. And I said to him, "Sir, you can believe whatever you want to believe. But I choose, by the grace of God, to believe that's God's word to me." His ways and his operations are far beyond our capacity. He has given us his word, and he's given us history. One historian said, if you don't know where you've been, you can't know where you're going. That's true. He has given us his beloved son so that we can see in him God at work. I think it's a sad thing that people look everywhere else when God is clearly before our eyes, sitting on a throne and in control. I want to bring you a message tonight, if the Lord will help me for just a few minutes, that I have titled God's Providence, A Cure for Fear. A Cure for Fear. Now, some people become frightened when they think there's some entity in the universe who's ruling and reigning over them, and it's not them. But I tell you, God's providence will cure your fears. If you're a believer. If you're not a believer, it won't help you. It should, but you'll still be frightened by this world, and you should be. First of all, let me talk a little about the providence of God in general. God controls everything, and the extremities of his control are even beyond the boundaries of the universe as we know it. Scientists are always talking about they've got a rocket going here, there, or somewhere, and they're going to do this, that, and the other, and 87 years they're going to see Mars, and so on and so on. Let me tell you something. If they get to Mars in 87 years, they haven't even gotten to the edge of where God's ruling and reigning. He controls the entire universe, and he does it simply by the word, by the power of his word. He said, let there be, and there was. He says, go, and things go. He says, stop, and things stop. Live, and you live. Die, and you die. He controls all of the natural order. All the forces of nature are completely in his control. I went across the Kentucky River yesterday on my way over towards Lexington, and I looked down, and I thought, boy, the river's just about dry. 3 weeks ago, it was almost up to the bridge. People say, boy, we sure were lucky that water didn't get over that bridge. Luck had nothing to do with it. I've seen it over that bridge. I remember when that bridge fell. God's in control. All the elements of the weather are in his control. People are always complaining about the weather. You know, I mean, we do. Well, it's raining today, and I really want to get out in the yard and work and do this, that, and the other. Like, God made it rain. It's so dry, I wish we could get some water. God makes it dry. It's been cool the last couple of days. I'm freezing to death. But God's in control. And it'll be hot. This is going to be 86 Sunday. And God will be in control. Every natural process operates at his direction and instruction and for his glory. Everything. Everything. God's control rules over all people. Good and evil. God doesn't just rule over the saints. He rules over everybody. He absolutely controls every mortal by his authority and his power. Why does God let people do some of the things he does? I don't know. But he has purpose in it. I read this morning, or was it yesterday? Somebody said that if all the people who died in the Holocaust, if the world came to an end and they all lived for 1 minute and then they died, it would take 23 years. That's how many people Adolf Hitler murdered in the death camps of Germany. But I'm going to tell you something. Whether you understand it or not, whether you appreciate it or not, the God who sits on the throne of heaven let that crazy man do what he did until he was through with him. And then he snuffed him out. And he restored peace back to those people. God uses the enemies of his people sometimes to discipline them. I've had people that were enemies of the gospel great hardships in my life and in my ministry and in this church's ministry through the 40-something years we've been meeting together. And I wondered why. Why? Sometimes it was a few weeks, a few years, a decade. Sometimes it's been 35, 40 years, and now I see. And what I don't see yet, I'll see yet. He hardens evil hearts and makes them subject to justice. Pharaoh said, just go do whatever you got to do. Until they got ready to go, and he said, nope, can't go. Change my mind. But there came a time when he didn't have the opportunity to change his mind. And the children of Israel went out of Egypt with a high hand, and they took everything they had there with them. And the people were glad to see him go. God can make things happen in an unbelievably simple way. I love that story in the Old Testament when the children of Israel were taking the land, and he said, you all don't know how to fight or anything, but you don't need to know how to fight. You got me fighting for you. And they ran up on those one bunch of people, and they just were scared to death of them. God says, no problem. God stirred up a nest of hornets and cleaned the whole country out. God controls all history, and he controls all the circumstances that surround it. His dominion is eternal. It's from beginning to ending, and God reigns in every bit of it. He's at work in events and processes we don't even recognize. Do you actually believe that you know everything that's going on in the world tonight? Behind every situation and every circumstance, God rules. That dear sister we just heard been diagnosed with cancer today. Do I understand that? Nope. But God's in control. And he has a purpose in that. We should never question it. Ordinary events and all the supplies that are in this world that we need or we think we need are all under his control. I was watching one television program I watch pretty regularly is 60 Minutes. And they had a program on the other night and they were talking about that water will be the oil of this century. In the western part of this country, they are depleting all the deposits of water, sometimes 5 miles under the earth's surface, because they have no water. And the attitude they have is, well, I'm getting mine while I can. God may teach them a lesson through that. Ordinary events are under his control. I ran out of crackers a couple days ago. Went upstairs, looked in the pantry, and there's a box of crackers. God put them there. He sent me to the store to buy them, but he put them there. God's care extends to all people. God cares for all people. But especially, he cares for his own. He loves his own. He loves his people. Why? Don't know. Don't know. Maybe he'll tell me one day. Maybe he won't. It doesn't make any difference. I'll still take whatever he wants to give me. Second thing about providence I want us to see is that it exercises God's law and God's purpose. Providential efficiency is very present in its current operations. Providential action and providential sustenance supports us every moment of our life. It's only been a few weeks. Seems like it's been a year. Since I came up here to preach one night, I don't remember a thing. You good folks took care of me and called the ambulance, and they hauled me away. And but God was in control. he was in control. Providential care is a great witness of God's ruling providence. Where's things come from? I was eating an apple this morning. I thought, boy, it's a good apple. Lord, thank you for making this apple. Without God, there won't be any apples. I'm having a terrible time finding clementines. They're running out at most stores. But I hunt them down. And I buy them because I love clementines. God provides them. The whole creation is the product of His will and His power. Things are here that have never been before. And things that have been here before are gone. It's all in the purpose of God. The nature of God is displayed in His providential arrangements. All these folks that are worried about these fish that don't exist anymore and these birds that don't exist anymore, this, that, and the other. Listen to me. God will hold mankind responsible for its wasting of His blessings. He will. His nature is displayed in those arrangements. And the Scriptures constantly verify God's efficiency in His providence. That's my pet. Don't bother him. That's all right, Charlie. Providence is God's provision. It's not a continuous creation. God's not created. He only created the world. Created the world. And providence is His control and His management and His orchestration of all the events of that creation. Providence removes the relations of cause and effect. Science operates basically on the principle of cause and effect. You know, if you do this, that will happen. God doesn't work on cause and effect. He does what He wants to do. Providence overrides the responsibility for sin and also overrides virtue and holiness. God oftentimes limits holiness and lets wicked men and women do what they want to do and then judges them. It's evidence of God's pure creation. You just look at providence. Just look at God working in the world. It's so wonderful. God has methods in His providence. His actions are universal and unlimited. There's nothing that happens God doesn't know about it. Now, I hear this all the time. We live in the most intellectual generation that's ever lived. According to scientists, all the total knowledge of the human race has quadrupled since 1948. I know some people that still can't find the door. God is in control. He generates actions in humans as a result of His power. We don't always understand. I don't know about you, but I don't understand people sometimes. They act strange. They do weird things. But God knows what He's doing. We can perceive the methods of God's actions as we see them in life. I was sitting in my study that morning and I heard tap, tap, tap on the window. And I looked out there and there was the prettiest cardinal. He was as red as Carol's sweater. Just as bright red as he could be. Looked like a brand new sports car just came out of the factory. And I thought, my God made that. I don't even bother those birds anymore. I just let them listen to them, you know. We see His actions in life. We're blessed by them. There's some distinctions that we see in His providence. It works both generally and in specific methods. God has a general order. Sun comes up in the east, goes down the west. Always has. Always has. That's specific. Why did my magnolia trees die back in the spring? That's God's general. And now it's summertime and they're turning green. And this one out here has got flowers on it. God works the way he wants to work. He works in ordinary providence and he works in extraordinary providence. Providence is a normal thing. Sun comes up in the east, goes down the west. But every once in a while, there's an eclipse and there is no sun. Well, there is no moon. And people are so amazed at that. These scientists got it figured out. There's going to be a total eclipse of the sun in Florida in 1,627 years, 48 days, 12 hours, 9 minutes, and 13 seconds. Only if God wants it to be. It's a material thing. It's also a spiritual thing. God works in providence to achieve spiritual objectives. The divided distribution of good and evil in the world is an indication of his providence. Humanity is in error if they cannot recognize the evil of sin, and they don't. People in this world don't recognize sin. Everybody makes mistakes, you know. Everybody makes a mistake. I'm not perfect, but I'm pretty close to it. No, you're not. The separation of good and evil is common. But it's corrupted. It's corrupted because of the way people think and the way they see things and the way they value things and the way they encourage things. The best of people are the causes of their own suffering. People are constantly blaming somebody else for their problems. And sometimes other people are involved. There's no doubt about that. No question about that. But the vast majority of the time, people's problems are caused by themselves. Sin is a curse. What humanity calls good, in reality, is necessarily evil. It is. But afflictions are instruments of the greatest spiritual blessings. I'm almost 70 years old. I have had about a dozen operations. I've learned something from every one of them. I've learned new doctors I can trust, and I've learned doctors I can't trust. I've learned doctors who are competent and some who are incompetent. I've learned lessons that I didn't expect to ever learn. My two boys love for me to have surgery. They really do. It's an inconvenience for them. They don't like being bothered with me when I'm sick, but they really like to laugh at me. And it's a good idea when I've had surgery not to come around me for a couple of days. Because I never know what you're going to see or who you're going to see or what you're going to see because I do crazy things. But I always learn those things. God's works are also his providence in governing his creation. God governs his creation by providence. There's a work of God that we call providence. There's no such thing as blind, uncontrolled fate. Folks always talk about, well, it's just fate, you know, just good luck or bad luck. There is no such thing as luck. There is no such thing as fate. Not uncontrolled fate. God is in control. Providence is God's ordering of all the issues and all the events of the world in which we live. His providence orders the decrees of God as they operate. I mean, they have a purpose. Providence is the ordering of all things in his purpose. God orders all things of his own will, but for his own glory. I know we don't understand that, because what's sinful in us is not sinful in God. For us to strive in our lives to try to honor ourselves and exalt ourselves and seek our own glory is sin. But God seeks his glory because it's part of his majesty. There's some propositions that we need to learn about God's sovereign providence. First of all, his providence reaches to all places and to all people and to all things. There's a show I see on television every once in a while. I'm not doing anything. I sometimes turn the television on to make noise go away, if that makes sense. And it was about these folks that live way up above the Arctic Circle. I wouldn't live like that on a bet. This one lady lives 198 miles above the Arctic Circle. She's got an airport out there and barrels and barrels of gasoline and this, that, and the other. And she's just as happy as she can be, and she fixes things if they break, and if they break, she can't fix them. She does without them, and so on and so on and so on. And she seems to be just as happy as she could be in that situation. God's put her in that situation, and he's made her happy in it. It reaches all places and all people and all things. Worldly things are disorderly and irregular. That's our world. Don't ever go get your license plates for your car on the day that the court session starts. You can't get in the courthouse. There are so many disorderly people. They're irregular, but they're still in God's will. The wicked are often blessed to be used of God for his purpose. God uses wicked men and wicked women to accomplish his purpose. Rahab was a prostitute. She lay down in the bed and sold her body to men for money. And God used her to spare the spies and blessed her. God allows men to sin in their will, but he'll judge them in eternity. Joseph told his brothers, "I'm not mad at you. This was the work of God. God did this." And God often allows men and women to do evil works. Pharaoh was a mean man. I'm telling you, I don't care if you're his first cousin or his brother or his grandma or his granddaughter. He was an evil man. When God sends you a prophet with direct instruction to do something and you say, you got a bad heart. Your head ain't working real good either, but your heart's real bad. There was a man named Herod. Wise men came to him and said, "Where's the king at?" "What king are you talking about?" "The one that was just born." "Well, where's he supposed to be?" They called the wise men and said, "He's over Bethlehem." He said, "Go over there and check on him and come back and tell me so I can go worship him." All Herod wanted to do was kill him. He angered a whole nation of people. He killed every male child 3 years old and under. He wanted to make sure he got him. He still missed him. Pilate was a coward, a weak man. He had more sense than everybody else around him, but he didn't have enough sense to act on it. He said, "Behold the man, there he is. I'm washing my hands this deal." But you can't wash your hands of sin. God will have justice. His providence reaches to all these people and all these occurrences and all the places of life. Every act of providence is planned and purposed by God. I didn't know it was going to be cool today, but God knew. I didn't know it was going to rain the other day, but God knew. I didn't know I was going to have strawberries for breakfast this morning, but God knew. There is no resisting of God's providential purpose. You don't stop God just by wanting to. Take a little kid to the county fair and say, come on, we're going to ride the Ferris wheel. No, I don't want to ride the Ferris wheel. I want to ride the ponies. And they'll stomp and cry and snort, and you'll take them over to the ponies and take them on a ride on the pony. I'm telling you, God wants you to ride the Ferris wheel. You better get on the Ferris wheel. You don't get on it, he'll put you on it. Or he'll put it on you. When providence seems astray, God's promises are still to be trusted. There are days in my life, I don't know if y'all have days like this, I've got a feeling you do, when I don't know what's going on. I mean, I just have days, I don't know what's going on. Why are things like this? But because God sits on the throne, I'm not afraid. He's to be trusted. He's to be admired. He's to be honored by his saints. And then divine providence calms the fears of redeemed people. It's a delightful expression to the saints to know that God's on the throne. Providence is a knowledge that is beyond all speculation and all theory. Scientists are always arguing about things. When I was an atheist and I was interested in science, I learned a long time ago that you eat the fish and throw away the bones. We know these things by the revelation of Scripture that God's given us. I believe this book. I read the New Testament through every year. I read the Old Testament through about every year and a half. I read this book. I don't always understand everything I read, but I believe everything I read. We understand God's providence because we experience it. We experience it. Persuasion keeps the soul in peace when that soul trusts God. The disciples were awful about getting upset. You read the Gospels and they just got upset over everything. They just got tore up over everything. Everything Jesus told, they got tore up about it. Is it me? Is it me? Is it him? Is it him? But divine providence orders and rules and disposes of all things in God's time. Believers attribute all of their blessings and all their trials to God's providence. I have a blessed life. I'm thankful to God for it. But I'll tell you, I have some days when there's some rocks in the way. And God's in that too. He never rests. He never regroups. He never recuperates. He just governs all things. He reigns over every sparrow that flies in the air. He reigns over every hair in our head. He knows how many there are. Now, mine are a lot easier to count than they used to be. But some of you all have a heavy head of hair, and you don't have any idea how many hair you have. I don't know how many I got either. Actually, I didn't count them. God knows. Every breath of every creature in his creation is his business. His business. He's in total control of all his works, whether rational or irrational. He's on the throne. He operates in all situations of good or evil, of righteousness or sin. His providence is executed in infinite wisdom and with infinite purpose. God's plan and his purpose demand our unceasing praise. Someone wrote, "I welcome all his sovereign will, for all his will is love. And when I know not what he does, I'll wait for light from above." Simple answer. God's purpose is ordained only for a designated people. In Romans 8:28, Paul said, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose." Now, he didn't say they work for everybody. He didn't say that at all. They work for good to them who love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. All things do not work for good to all people. Only for the lovers of God. God's purpose and his providence is for those that he calls in eternal love. He calls the people. Why does he do it? I don't know. Because he wants to. Because he gets glory out of it. There are people that are identified by faith. They're identified by love. And they're identified by trust. Paul said in Philippians 3:3, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." That's us. I hope you have no confidence in the flesh. You shouldn't have. There is no value in it. I've known men and women, and I've had them tell me, look me straight in the eye and say, "Look, I am in control. I am ruling and reigning in my life, and I'll do what I want to do, and what I don't want to do, I don't want to do. And I just let you know, I'm running my own ship." Well, I got news for you. There's a coral reef out there that God built, and he'll keelhaul your ship if he chooses to. These people are called of God, and they're given faith in Christ, and they're given love for their Father. Paul said, "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." God Almighty rules, and he governs all things in sovereign purpose. We do not need to know what God's purpose is in all things. It's important that you know that. You do not need to know what God's doing. You don't. You're trying to make yourself equal with God. Men and women have been doing that ever since Adam and Eve. You don't need to know what God's doing. You just need to know that the God who is doing what he wants to do is a holy and righteous God who loves his covenant people. That's all I need to know. My mama used to wear me out with a switch and tell me how much she loved me. Whew, at the time, it was hard to convince me. The grace of God gives us grace to believe and grace to love him. And it's intended for our eternal good, and more than that, for his external glory. He who is truly God is the God of providence. He rules in all things. He's too wise to make mistakes. He's too good to make errors. He's too strong to fail. And he's too gracious to ever abandon his people. But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. William Cowper once wrote these beautiful words. God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rules upon the storm. We fear too much for a people who are under God's abundant loving blessings. We do. We worry far too much about earthly and material things to be the chosen people of God. We have far too many doubts about God's mercy and God's love and God's grace. We spend far too much time grumbling and complaining about our trials and our troubles for people who are loved by God and purchased by Christ. We have far too much attachment to this world for people who are bound for the celestial city of heaven. The more we believe God's I wills, the less we will fear and tremble. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. Amen.